Anybody? Who thinks it's just kind of lame compared to The Office? Yeah, I know. Lindsay loves that show, and so she watches all the time, and so she helps me find good clips of that work, but I don't really watch all that much, but slowly the more I keep like seeing it on, I'm like, this is actually pretty funny. So, my name's Gary, if you haven't met me before. Glad you guys are with us today. I'm on staff here, and as you can see, we're starting a new series called Pull Your Head Out of Your App. Yes, good stuff. So we're talking about how technology and social media shapes our faith, our relationship with others, relationship with God. So I'm really excited about this series, but before we kind of get into the lesson, we are going to do a little contest next week in honor of the Super Bowl, right? I mean, go Seahawks, right? You got the rusty jersey on. That's awesome. So what we're going to do is next week, you need to just get like super duper into, I don't know, dressing up. You could try and become Russell Wilson, kind of like Jordan did last week. Whatever you have to do, get the face paint going on, because whoever wins, and we're going to pick somebody that is going to Summit, because the winner is going to get all this fast food for your cabin at Summit, okay? So what we're going to do on one of the nights of Summit, we will go to, there's like a Taco Bell, or some people call it Taco Hell, or Toxic Smell. Those are my two names for them. So there's Taco Bell, I think there's a Burger King, there's I think a McDonald's. So we're just going to get you guys like a plethora of fast food items that you can just gorge on. And if we do get Taco Bell for you, we know that your cabin leader will not like me anymore because it ain't going to smell good in there. So you want to do that next week because that'll be really fun to do at Summit. But yeah, like I said, we're starting the series called Pull Your Head Out of Your App. And talking about technology, social media, how that shapes our faith and shapes our relationship with God. And I've been personally really excited to do this series for a while because I've been working on it for a couple months now, just trying to get us prepared and do some different research. And as I've been putting it together, I just realized how much technology has changed in just the past like 5 years or the past 10 years. So maybe even 5 years ago, most of you didn't even have a cell phone yet, right? But now, who has a cell phone? Go ahead and raise your hand if you have one. I won't single out the person that doesn't have one because you always feel like the lame guy that's like, oh, I haven't caught up to the rest of the world yet. But like, there was a time when nobody even ever had a cell phone. Like, I remember when I was in high school, when I was 16, I just got my driver's license, and that was when cell phones actually just came out. And so I was one of the first kids in high school to get one, so I felt like I was so cool, which was true. And so I got a cell phone, but it was purely for emergency purposes, where you guys get it, and it's just like, oh, then I can do some selfies, I can Snapchat, I can Facebook. But my mom was like, in case you ever get in an accident, and, you know, I'm Asian, so we have more likely chance of getting in an accident. So she's like, in case you get in an accident, you're stranded somewhere, you need to be able to get a hold of me. So it was like, they didn't have data plans. There was no text messaging. Nobody did any of that. It was like you actually had to pick up the phone and like talk to a human being over the thing with your voice. It was so weird. Like that's how it was when it first came out. Like nobody had them. And then I was thinking about how in high school too, we didn't have Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. We had this thing called MySpace. And it's like totally like the loser version of those other two. And so we had MySpace, and that's how we like would connect over social media. But now for you guys, you're connected 100% of the time, right? So you can pop your phone out, you can post a status, and then you can look at how many likes you got, and you can take a little picture on Instagram, do your little selfie, and then people like it, and you feel better about yourself. And if nobody likes it, then you're like, ooh, I need to delete that post. Like, I'm kind of a loser, so I shouldn't have that one. You know, it's like, that's like your guys' world. But for me, we didn't do that at all. It was so different just like 10, 15 years ago when I was a teenager. And I want to illustrate this to you. I found this really cool picture. So this is of the inauguration of the Pope, 2005 versus 2013, to show you how much like technology has just shaped the world. Turn the backlights off real quick so you can see a little better. But if you notice in the top one, there's maybe one or two cell phones. And in the bottom one, somebody even brought an iPad. Who carries an iPad with them? Like, that's crazy. But how much technology and social media is shaping, you can turn lights back on, is shaping our culture and shaping our spiritual lives. See, I think it's something that we don't necessarily spend any time thinking about. Like how does this device here that causes me to be connected at all times and causes me to have more screen time than actual face-to-face time. Like, how is that shaping me and my walk with God? And so that's what we're going to go after in this series. And we're going to talk about, like, how does technology and social media, how does it help us? But then on the flip side, how does it hurt us? How does it keep us from growing in our faith? So if you pull out your outline, we're going to do a little survey. This is going to be kind of fun. You have some space to answer these five questions. I'm going to read them off to you. And they're all yes or no. Be honest with yourself today, okay? So here's the first one. This is all getting into this technology, social media stuff. Do you ever sneak away from people or groups to use your phone? You know you do. Like, you're like, oh, teacher, I have to go to the bathroom. But you don't have to go to the bathroom. You just have to want to go text like three or four people to make sure that you like respond in time or whatever. So that's the first one. Second one is this. Do you repeatedly check your phone when having meals with others? Can you even imagine a dinner time where you don't have a phone at the table? Like, that's just not the way things work anymore. Everybody's like, as soon as you hit a lull in the conversation, it's like you're talking, you're like, it's all fun, and then it's quiet. You're like, I don't know what to do with the silence. Like, that's what we do, right? That third one, this is the best one. Do you ever use it in the bathroom? Okay, now let's get more specific. On the toilet? Anybody? Actually, just yesterday, Jordan Snapchatted me a picture. No, it's not that bad. You Snapchatted me a picture of your car with your window, how his window got smashed over the weekend. Nick Abel, are you here? No? He's not here? Okay. I know Nick had the same thing happen to him. But so he Snapchatted me, and a couple hours later, I had to go number two. So I went to the bathroom, and that was I pulled my phone out because obviously I had like two to 5 minutes of time to kill him there. So I pop it out, and I Snapchatted him from the bathroom. So I would mark yes for that one. Fourth question. This is a good one. Do you get mad when someone takes your phone? Right? Yeah, there's like this, I want to punch that guy in the throat kind of feeling, right? That's what you feel. This was really funny actually today, this week. On Thursday, I went down to the Starbucks in Sumner. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like working on my message on this for today. And the line was pretty close to me, but they're like back behind me. And so I heard this guy start to talk, and he's like, man, this girl, she took my phone, and she like wanted to check her Facebook and like logged in all of her accounts on my phone. And I was like so mad. I was like, why are you taking my phone? Why are you doing that? Can't you just get your own phone? And so I thought it was like a teenager, because that's how what you guys would say. So I look back, and the guy was like 45 years old. I was like, bro, you are so messed up. That's so bad. It's okay. Just let him use the phone. It's all good, man. What if it's an emergency? Like, it was probably an Asian, got in a car accident. She needed some help. Fifth question is, do you ever check your phone when already watching TV? It's like, while you have screen time, you need more screen time. And it's like you're connected to the world on TV. Like, you're learning everything about the news and whatever, and yet you still need more connectedness. Okay, so how many of you answered all five of them yes? Okay, how about four? Four? Three? Okay, three. Okay, two? All right. One? Yeah, there's one person. Anybody have zero? All right, you're a liar. You're going to hell. Jake. Oh, yeah, that's right. You probably don't have a phone. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's okay. So, as you can see, we are all addicted to these devices that are causing us to, our entire reality is mediated through a screen. That's just the way we are built these days. And so is that really a good thing? That all my conversations happen because I text message someone or I Snapchat them with one little sentence of, here's what I'm doing. Or I read some tweets, and it's 140 characters, and that's pretty much it. And you never have real interaction with people. Like, is that really the best possible way to have relationship with others? And how is that affecting our walk with God? And maybe it's not your phone, that's not the big thing, but for a lot of guys, it's video games. That's the thing, man. It's like you spend hours and hours in front of a screen just playing video games all day long. And so we have this addiction, and that's what I would really say it is. It's this addiction to connectedness and to screen time, and it's shaping the way that we think and how we believe. And I think for some reason in the church, we'll kind of downplay this addiction, but we elevate other ones. Like, we'll elevate an addiction like alcoholism or pornography. It's like, oh, those ones, they're so horrible. You're a terrible person, whatever. But then when it comes to this addiction that 100% of this room deals with, we're just like, eh, it's not that big of a deal because it's normal. This is just the way life is now. This is our culture. So it's not that big of a deal. But I think as I've been kind of studying this and just trying to get my mind wrapped around it, I've been realizing that there's this ugliness inside of us, this addiction to screen time and addiction to superficial relationship that we have, and addiction to self-promotion, because that's what you do on all these social sites. You post something because you want to get likes and feel better about yourself. So we have this addiction, and we're not dealing with it. We're not wrestling with it. And I think it's something that we have to talk about as it relates to our faith. So go ahead and write this down as your first note. It is, technology is not necessarily bad. I want to make sure you hear this, because you might hear me saying, oh my gosh, we need to just get rid of our phones and throw them away and never turn on the television again and cut off our cable and like throw our Xbox out the window and all this. I'm not saying that at all. Like, in fact, technology, it's a great thing. It's really, really awesome. It has so many benefits. Like, I mean, you're in this room right now, and you have the Bible being able to go up on a screen so you can read it. And so we can, like, play videos. Like, that's technology. You have, in your hands, you have an outline that was printed on a printer. The printing press was another form of technology that brought us from this place of nobody being able to have printed material to now everybody has access to it. You have your phone. Everybody has one. It's like there are some really, really beneficial things to technology, but I think what can happen is we can, instead of us using technology, we can end up being used by technology. And we turn it into an idol, into something that we love so much and we don't know how to live without. So I want to set up this scripture that we're going to talk about today. It's in the book of Romans, which is written by this guy named Paul. He like started tons of churches back in the day. Awesome dude, wrote over half of the New Testament. And so in this passage, he's going to reference the creation story. Like back at the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, there's this creation poem that talks about God creating the world in 7 days. 6 days, he's working hard, making everything that exists, and then one day he chooses to rest. So he's going to kind of reference that as he's trying to point out that we have a tendency to worship created things rather than the Creator. So let's read this here. It's Chapter 1, verse 20. God's eternal power and character cannot be seen, but from the beginning of creation, God has shown what these are like by all he has made. Okay, so we can't necessarily like see God, and so God, he uses all of creation to help us understand his character, and specifically as it relates to technology, his creativity and his power and more of his identity to us. That's how he reveals it to us. Goes on and says, that's why those people don't have any excuse. They know about God, but they don't honor him or even thank him. Their thoughts are useless and their stupid minds are in the dark. This is encouraging today, right? They claim to be wise, but they're fools. They don't worship the glorious and eternal God. Instead, they worship idols that are made to look like humans who cannot live forever, and like birds, animals, and reptiles. So God let these people go their own way. And I think that's really important to recognize that. I think sometimes we look at God and he's like this forceful, like, you have to do what I want or I'm going to be super mad at you and I'm done with you. But he's like, they chose to do that. I let them go their way. They did what they wanted to do and their filthy thoughts made them do shameful things with their bodies. They gave up the truth about God for a lie. And catch this, it's so important. And they worshiped God's creation instead of God. Underline that. Who will be praised forever. That last part is so key. So Paul is writing this letter to a Roman church and Roman audience, and they're so caught up in worshiping all their created things they have that they don't even recognize that the Creator is really the one behind all of that. And it's something we still do today. Like so often, the thing that battles for our worship and our heart and our love for God is just a bunch of stuff. And it's all stuff that we've created, and we're just like, oh, this stuff is so cool. Like, dude, I confess that, man. When the new iPhone comes out, I'm always just like, oh my gosh, this thing is amazing. Like, it's faster. How did they make it faster? And now you can do the fingerprint thing, and that's, like, beautiful, and I want that. You know, it's like, these things are so cool, and they can catch our attention and get our affection, and it causes us to love stuff more than love God. And so it was happening thousands of years ago at the beginning of the church, and it still happens today. And so what I'm saying is that technology and like social media, all the stuff we're talking about, it's not necessarily that all the stuff is bad, because if you think about it, there's so much good to it. Like If any of you are in a military family, technology can take a son that is thousands of miles away from his dad and connect them over the internet. And that's an amazing thing. But the internet can also be used as a device of destruction because it feeds our addictions, like self-promotion, like pornography, like gambling, like shopping. So it feeds all these things. It's not like the internet's the bad thing. It's the way that we use it is what causes the problem. I mean, you think about the iPhone. In the iPhone, I think this reveals the creativity of God, because God created us, humans, and he created us in his likeness. He's like, I made you in my image. That's what it says back in Genesis. And so God's a creative God. He's a creator God. And so for us, we are also very creative, and we can create stuff. And so for a guy like Steve Jobs to think this thing up and all of its like ways that it's so helpful, it can be something that can be used where I can open up Twitter and I can subtweet about that person that really bugs me. And so it's the matter of how we use it, not necessarily that technology is bad in itself. So let me give you two things two problems that technology brings specifically. The first one is this: trade depth for breadth. If you haven't realized yet, people are lonelier now than ever before. And you would think that wouldn't be the case, because I can be connected to every single one of you at all times because I can text message you, I can send a Facebook message, I can post on my Facebook and you can like it, and then we have this little connection to each other. And so like you would think that all this connectedness would make it to where we don't feel lonely, but in our culture, that's the way it is. That's why suicide is running rampant in our culture, is because people are lonely. And so you would think that this stuff would help us, but really, it's not. And I think it's because we're consumed with popularity instead of depth. So, like I said before, when you post a picture on Instagram and you get like 40 likes or something, you kind of like feel, you're like, okay, this is one that like got people's attention. But then when you post one that gets like 3 or 4, you're like, oh, I should delete that, or I feel kind of like a loser. And so you find your identity in these things. And what's happening is you have 43 people that have liked your picture, that most of them, you probably don't really even know them. It's people that, if I were to ask you, do you know what that person really is passionate about? You'd be like, I don't know. Do you know what makes that person, or keeps that person up at night? You have no idea. Do you know what this person wants to do with their life? Do you know what hurts them right now? It's like you have all these superficial relationships, addicted to that, and getting more and more and more, and having more followers on Twitter. And then, but if it were like 4 people that liked your photo and it was like these people that are really, really close friends, for some reason that's not enough. And it's because we have this addiction to superficial relationship instead of depth. And I want to show this video that I think really articulates this really well. It's a couple minutes long, so go ahead and throw this on real quick.
Stuck under his car, and like who knows how long he was driving. I saw him pull out of the parking lot and turn right, and the box was still stuck under his car. So who knows how long he was driving with that box under his car. I like bet he got home, he pulled into his driveway
out in the sky. I'm not
wow.
And like, it's not
I don't think it's real.
I see the line of cars wasted. The Empire State Building is like really close to it, so it's a good
Hey, get a bargain, shoes!
We kind of laugh at that, right? Like, why are they doing that? But isn't that exactly what we do? Like, for those of you that are in a relationship, I mean, I love that, how the video starts with, it's like supposed to be this like intimate connection where this couple's like laying together or whatever. And the use of technology can take two people that are like right face to face with each other and make them miles apart. And that's crazy, because that's what we do in all these moments where we feel uncomfortable, because like maybe you walk into a new room and your first thing is like, oh my gosh, I need my phone. It's like, because this is my security, it's my safety net, and I don't feel awkward if I have something to like sit and look at or whatever. But that's like just the way it is. And it's like, I love that technology can bring people that are thousands of miles apart, bring them together so they can stay connected, like I said, with people in like the military or long distance relationships. But it's also destroying. You can walk into a restaurant, and if you just look around, you can see people sitting face-to-face at a table, and they're all sitting there like this. And you're like, man, how has it become that way where we can't even sit and talk face-to-face anymore? We have to have something to make us feel more comfortable. And so, like I said, I've been working on this for a couple months, and I started to notice some things, some ugly things inside myself related to this, where every night when I get home from work, I go and I play with Jad, we have dinner together, and then I have bath time with him. And so it's like this one thing that is kind of our routine to be hanging out together. You know, we have such a good time, and I put bubbles in there and splash him and all this fun stuff. And if you look at my Instagram, you would notice that there's a lot of pictures I would take of Jad like in the bath, because it's so funny. He'd like put all the bubbles on his face and have a mustache and all this really funny things. And so I noticed that what I was doing is I was so worried about capturing the moment that I wasn't just being in the moment. And I think that's how we think these days. We're like, oh man, I need to make sure that everybody else hears about this thing. When how many times is it supposed to be just like an intimate connection with just one person? So for me, what I've done is I've decided to leave my phone either in our bedroom or downstairs and just like be engaged in bath time with my son. And it's so much fun. But I still have those times where I'm like, I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden he gets distracted and starts doing his own thing. And my first thought is, where's my phone? I need to check Twitter. I need to go and read thousands of people complaining over Twitter. Like, why would I care about reading all of that crap when I have this moment to just be fully present with my one son, which will be two pretty soon here? Like, I'm like not engaging in true relationship with him because I'm so distracted with being connected with all these loosely kind of acquaintances instead of this one that matters way more. And I think something else I've learned as I've been working through this is that, you know how at Twitter gives you, is it 140 characters? I'm not even on there enough to know. 140, is that right? Yeah? Somebody help me out. Okay. So 140 characters. So what we're used to doing, and this, our brains are getting trained to process and think and relate this way, well, we're so used to going on Twitter, and then all you do, I'm actually going to pull it up, and so you're like reading all of these little tiny like snippets, like really fast interactions, 140 characters, and then you're like done. And so what we're used to doing is like we can only engage with people for so long before we're bored. And so we've kind of given ourselves ADD in some ways because of so much screen time, and we're just like 140 characters. That's all I read all the time, just really, really quick snapshots, boom, 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 boom. And then when you get face-to-face with somebody, you're just like, you're a mess. You don't know how to look somebody eye to eye and just like have a conversation with them. And it's like, it's just messing with true relationship and depth because we're so consumed with being connected to a bunch of acquaintances than a few that are actually true relationship. So that's the first one. We trade depth for breadth. Second one is this. It interrupts our God time. I'm going to survey you guys real quick. Raise your hand if this relates to you. How many of you have been reading your Bible at night, if you're a Christian? This is part of the practice of being Christian. Reading your Bible at night, and you got interrupted by a text message or, oh, I need to get on Twitter. Raise your hand if that's happened to you before. Okay? So this is a common thing. This device, this piece of technology that is, it's a great thing. It's really awesome. I love it. But it's something that interrupts my time in this. And like, I think so oftentimes I talk to different people at churches, and they always want to have this conversation of like, Gary, I don't feel like God is close right now. I don't feel connected to him. I don't know where he is. I can't hear him. And all I have to do is ask a really simple question. This is maybe something to consider for yourself if you're in that place. When was the last time you had 5 minutes of uninterrupted time with God in his word or praying? I mean, no interruptions. The phone is completely away from you. You didn't stop for anything. Like, even 5 minutes, that's hard for us to focus on, right? And it's like I said, because we're so used to these, like, quick. And so we have no depth in our relationship with God because we don't know how. And so that's what I really am wanting us to talk about and figure out. Like, how do we respond to this? How do we respond? Like, yes, technology is a good thing, but clearly we're addicted to it, and it's not helping us as much as maybe the iPhone would say it's supposed to. So here, let me give you, as we wrap it up, three ways we respond to technology. Two are not the ideal, and one is the goal. First one is this: if we can, we should. I think that's what most culture is. It's like, well, everybody else is doing it, so it seems like it's normal. Let's just keep getting more apps and get the newest phone and whatever, and that's just kind of the way things work. And everybody just seems to talk over a screen on text message or Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat. And so that's just the way things are. And so we just embrace it, and we don't even think that critical about it. And we don't start thinking about it more critically until something bad happens. So, like, maybe you've gotten broken up with over a text message, or I don't even think you guys know how to email anymore, so maybe not an email. But you've gotten broken up with. Like, I remember for me, the first time I ever got broken up with a girl, I was 16 at the time, and she did it over AIM. Do you guys even know what AIM is? AOL Instant Messenger. See, even that was like the thing when I was in high school, and now you guys are like, what? Dude, you're the oldest person by far, so that's not good. So she broke up with me over that, and I was like so offended. Like, how could she do it? She could have at least done it face-to-face. And I think in times like that where something like bad happens to us, that's when we start to think, like, how is this thing really affecting me? And how is it that all this like screen contact is affecting my relationships? I think that's the time when we do it. Look, there's just a great scripture in 1 Corinthians about this. It says, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. I think that's what we do. We just embrace it. It's like, oh, well, I'm allowed to do anything. I have all this freedom, whatever. It's all good. But the reality is it's just hurting us more and more and more. And just because you can doesn't mean you always should. Like, just because I can go on to Twitter and I can subtweet about somebody to the whole world doesn't mean I should, right? And so I think that's what we do. We just, if we can, we should. Second way we do this is overly religious separation. And this is the whole, like, Amish thing. What they say is, the world is bad. Like, technology is bad, so we're going to continue to make our own clothes, and we're going to build a hut out in the woods, and we're just going to avoid all contact with the world because it's going to corrupt us. And so that's the way, like, the Amish population kind of works. But you can't really do that because, I mean, in the Bible, it talks about how we, believers, are supposed to be citizens of, well, we're citizens of heaven, but God has placed us to live in the world, but not be of the world. So we have to learn how to just live in this world because this is where we're at. Like, God doesn't say, well, just avoid it and, you know, and hopefully heaven will come sooner than later. You know, it's like, that's not the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to be in the world and be learning how to live out faith in here. Third one is this: with self-control and wisdom. And like I said, this is the goal. Let me read this out of Proverbs for you. Proverbs is awesome because it's just filled with great wisdom. It says, get wisdom. Develop good judgment. Underline that. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Underline that last part too. This is what we're shooting for in this series. So this week has just been to kind of set it up. We're going to have two more weeks talking about this, so I really, really challenge you and hope that you will be here for this series, because I promise you that if you choose to listen to this and then obey what we're talking about, some of this wisdom, you will grow spiritually, and you will feel more connected to God. There's no way around it. It will happen for you. And I know that there are many of you that you're extremely lonely right now in your life. I mean, I had a talk with one student last Sunday, and she was telling me like how she feels like super disconnected, doesn't know where God is. She's actually been thinking about eternity and kind of scared because she doesn't know if she's going to heaven anymore. And so as she's sharing all these different emotions she's feeling, all I did was I just stopped her and I was like, let me ask you one question. Are you lonely? And without hesitation, she's like, yep, I am. Okay. That's the source of the problem. We are in such a lonely, lonely time in our history, and it's because we think that this is really going to help us. Like, I'm connected with so many people on my device, but it's not. And so what I'm going to challenge you guys to do out of this is we're going to do a social media fast here at HP Students. So I want to invite all of you to take 2 weeks off from any kind of social media. That is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and I just decided to add in Snapchat, okay? Yep, freak out. Okay, and I said this to the apprentices this last week. If you freak out about that, then you need this more than anybody else, okay? So do it. And it's because, like I'm talking about, how much time is spent in front of a screen? So even when I decided to add Snapchat, I'm like, all we're doing is we're once again getting onto a screen and not actually interacting with humans, okay? So that's what I'm trying to get us to do is like learn how to maybe even pick up the phone and call someone. Or because we're so used to like really, really limited, not very deep relationships, if I were to say, hey, I want to challenge you over the next 2 weeks, ask one friend out one-on-one, just you two, and just go to coffee with them and sit face-to-face and leave your phone in the car. Like, I can't do that. That's crazy. I keep spitting everywhere. But we just don't know how to do this. And so this fast is kind of a way for us to recognize how addicted we are and then hopefully take some steps forward in growth. So it's going to be for 2 weeks, and it'll start today after church and go until the Sunday after the Super Bowl. Just say, I'm done with it. And you're going to need to delete the apps from your phone, okay? Because if you leave them there and think, oh, I have self-control. No, you don't. You don't have any self-control, let's be honest. You're a teenager. So delete the apps and take on this challenge because it's going to be so good for us. And I'm really excited to do it for myself. I think it's going to be huge for me and my relationship with Lindsay and with my son. If I were Tara Walker, I would not do this because she's having a baby and all of us need to be able to publicly see the baby. So I wouldn't do it if I were you. And Lindsay actually told me, she's like, man, if our baby was due right now, she's like, Gary, I know I'm supposed to like lead by example, but nope. It's like, all right, love you, babe. But totally get that. So yeah, 2 weeks. And let me just explain fasting, because maybe you're new to church, which a lot of you are. I know a lot of you, your parents don't do the church thing, so you're kind of figuring this thing out. But a fast is, it's just like a biblical practice, spiritual discipline. You know, we pray, and we talk about that a lot, and we talk a lot about reading scripture and spending time with God. So fasting is just another discipline that it's supposed to be just a natural part of our life, but we just don't know how to do that. And so basically what they would do is, in the Old Testament, happened also, Jesus did this a couple times in his ministry, but they would just say, we want to hear from God, and so let's fast. Most of the time it was from food for 40 days. I'm like, whoa, dude, no, I need a hamburger. There's no way I can do that. For 40 days, and they would just live off of water. I'm like, that's crazy. But it would make them grow spiritually so much because instead of relying on something else, it would remind them, like, okay, I'm so hungry. Let me just remember, God, I need to pray. God, help me to get through this time. God, I want you to speak to me. And so that's really the idea behind fasting. So if you want to do that, go ahead and grab your comm cards as we finish up here.